So as we continue this journey through the Gospel of Mark, we are confronted with events that I would say literally rock our world. I don't know about you, but I struggled with this text all week. I've been asking God to shed light on it, to help me, because I know how difficult it is for us to comprehend. You see, the problem here is that we have a great distance between the people in the first century and ourselves. We tend to rationalize these events instead of just taking them at face value. There's this, again, great cultural distance that makes it difficult to interpret the events. So we tend to sort of work it out in our reasonable minds. It's very similar to the matter that is really controversial even in our world today. You know, that matter called creation. Maybe you know that there's this big dispute whether creation is literal and is true in the Bible or not, whether this developed through millions and millions of years. It's sort of the same thing. We want to understand what's really going on, and we tend to just try to categorize it, to put it in places that really can just fit us. But as you well know, and I've said many times before about seeing, what you see is not what you get, right? So I want to ask all of you, has anybody seen a demon lately? Not on television, please. No. Has anybody experienced any demonic activity? Right? Have we heard of something going on around us that really, you know, it's like, I wonder what that is all about. I don't know. You know, it's a touchy subject, isn't it? Because whenever we're talking about that, we just have that tendency to retract. Our minds tend to say, no, there has to be a reasonable explanation for that. And I think that it's more a matter of the fear that comes along with the idea, right? Than with the need to reason. Now, exorcisms, right? They're sort of part of our folklore. They're part of our movie history. They're part of the imagination of our lives, but is not necessarily part of our reality. At least, we don't see it that way. It's incredible. Right? That somebody may be possessed and freed. Thus, it makes it impossible in our minds. I mean, in order to do that, and here's the kicker. In order to be able to accomplish such a feat, you would have to actually challenge all the status quo, right? You would have to challenge all the ideas that we have of good and evil. It's a challenging matter. Not only that, but it challenged our understanding of the whole world. And I would say to you, don't worry, because it's not a new thing. The Jews in the text sort of relate. You know, they ask, is this a new teaching? Right? They're asking, even themselves, what in the world is going on here? I don't get it. I'll translate to our lingo today. Is this for real? I mean, that's probably what they were really saying. Is this for real? I mean, are we talking reality here, or are we talking some magic trick? Again, I think the conflict really comes from our understanding of the world. And I have labeled this as a cosmic conflict. Because it's a matter of our worldview. It's a matter of everything that exists around us, our society, the way that we see ourselves. It just really rocks our world. Now, it's not that we cannot see evil, right? We see evil, don't we? I mean, we see evil actions, we see evil things, we see people doing things that are evil in our concept understanding. I mean, it's clear. We even see people acting not according to their own character. You would be able to even call that they're possessed by some idea or even some being. But even as we see that, we don't believe it. Or is that just me? See, even as we see these things, we may not believe it. It happened in the United States to folks that were near the time of the Second World War, right? I mean, things were happening in Europe, in Germany. It was being experienced. It was being seen. The news would come by and say, No. It's got nothing to do with us. Let us just put it aside. It happened in the cases where genocide was being carried out, right? Rwanda, different places. We just see those things and it says, oh, wow, that's just TV, right? It's in the news. But we just sort of tend up saying that it can't be. People cannot be so violent with each other. It just doesn't register in our minds. And there's been many things that have been affronts to humanity, and we really just, you know, we can see it, but it's hard for us to even process that. And our initial reaction, regardless, is, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. That in Bosnia, there's Muslim going against another racial entity. I just can't believe it. And that they're taking their lives with disregard to who they are as people. Now, I want you to understand, I think that Mark is really trying to communicate something to us. Remember, at the beginning of the chapter, he tells us of these briefly about an event with Jesus Christ after he was baptized. He was taken by whom? By the Spirit, right? Was taken by the Spirit out to the desert to be what? Tempted. It was not being tempted by his stomach. It was not being tempted by his mind. It was being tempted by what? Satan. So you see, Mark is making the point that evil exists and there is an originator. We'll follow, right? There's an originator of that evil. And that evil is always being worked around us in so many ways. He was tempted by Satan. Now, another question for you, and this may be an assignment. You might want to write this down during the week sometime. How many times have you been tempted by the devil? Please. Please, go ahead. I mean, you can write that down. You can work that out. I mean, but I think it's a great exercise. How does that happen? I mean, what is the struggle? How is it that we even consider it a struggle? Something comes to mind. Some of you will remember this. The devil made me do it. The devil made me, Flip Wilson, right? The devil made me do it. You see, it's this thing about knowing that there's this entity, this thing that is out there that is trying to convince us to do something that is not right. But we don't call that possession, do we? I think it's a struggle, it's a matter of a battle of the will. As they say around here, it's a battle in between our ears. It's a matter of this battle with the desires of the self, the ego, of me. Internally, it's me, external forces that want to take all that is good away and leave our hearts barren. Now, Mark, it's writing during the time of persecution. Nero was the emperor. And Nero didn't like Christians nor Christianity. And he was going and persecuting them. And maybe because of that oppression towards Christians and Christianity, it could be natural to see this demonic possession that we're presented with sort of as a parallel to the political world. The political environment of the time. Sort of a version of what was really going on. What they could really understand. And I'll explain. Remember what the Spirit said. Have you come to destroy us? Okay? So there is this battle. There's evil. There is good, evil, right? The spirit that is possessing this man, good, Jesus himself, right? And then there's this parallel. There's a Roman Empire and the Jews. You see that? So it could be sort of like a parallel of what they were experiencing. You know, the Romans versus the Jews or Christians. Captivity versus freedom. You know, there's these dichotomies out there. Destruction versus safety. So these are themes that we can relate to. I mean, those are familiar to us, right? But the moment that we put this in a spiritual context, then it's harder. Sometimes we wish we had the power to escape. The power to escape our past, our current environment, the power to escape injustice, the power to deal with the lack of scruples in the world, the power to deal with the weakness that is around us, the absence of ethics that we see on a daily basis. We could call all these things evil. And we struggle, right? And sometimes we just wish we had the power to deal with that and get rid of it once and for all. And even in the political sense, it's really not a matter of solving the issue, but using the issue sometimes for our advantage. You see, we are people that are egocentric, so sometimes we wish they had the power to do all these things, but it is to put ourselves in a better position. Right? It's not that justice will reign, it's just that I want to be in a better place. We may even want the power to exercise demonic influence that sometimes makes us captives. Whether it's the political system, the social system, we want to be free. But I divert a little. Let's get back to the story here. I think the most difficult part of this event, this demonstration by Jesus, is the quote-unquote, what do I do with this information question. What do I do with this information? Having this presented to us in the face of such witness that is communicated to you and I, the question then comes, what am I supposed to do? Oh, that's right. I'm the only one that asked that. Yeah, I told you that all week long. I was like, Lord, you have to shed some light into this. Does that mean that we need to become exorcists? What does that mean? Well, maybe we can see something that will inform us a little bit in the exchange that happens with this possessed man and Jesus. It tells us a lot about it. First, it tells us that evil exists. Right? That's the premise. Evil does exist. It is real. Second, it tells us that Jesus has authority and power over evil. Amen. Right? Over demons and over evil. Third, it tells us that evil itself, the demons, fear Jesus because they fear God's power in him. Amen? Right? So, I mean, we know these three things out of that exchange. Evil's real. Evil is. Jesus has authority over evil. And the demons do fear what can be done. Now, there's a fourth thing, though. The fourth thing is that the fight is real. What you and I engage in a daily basis, it's not fantasy, it's not imagination, it's a real matter. It's a real struggle. It's a real fight. But there's something else to that. It is a real fight, but know this. Jesus is triumphant in that fight. Amen? I mean, Jesus gets his way. See, this community in Mark's gospel could be considered as a persecuted community. It could be considered powerless, even poor. They didn't have all the means. They had to hide. They were under threat of death. So this community is at a disadvantage in every aspect of their lives. And when they hear that Jesus has power to get rid of demons, they see this as hope. See, and it happens. I mean, we will read some more of this as we go through Mark. But Mark is so explicit when he says, he touched the man, healed him. Right? So Jesus is exercising power over all these things that are affecting society, that are affecting a community. He has victory over illness, over what could be considered a disability nowadays, right? Because if you see somebody that is not acting right, what do you think? Right? I mean, we could call them loonies, or we could call this guy crazy, or he must have mental illness. I mean, we have all kinds of labels for it, right? But the fact is that Jesus still overcomes. And for those that are listening to this gospel, that is life-saving news. That is good news for the heart. I don't know about you, but sometimes in this struggle, you get tired. You might grow weary because it's a constant battle in mind and the spirit, trying to work, overcome, do these things that we know that are good, but somehow we end up on the other side, and somehow it is becoming troublesome in our minds, and we try to deal with it. We get tired. But there's this one word. We've repeated it a couple of times during the past few weeks. And I think it's a word that should communicate something to us. It's a word, proclamation. Remember, at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, he's going out to proclaim, right? To proclaim the good news. The kingdom of God is near. And I think that this is still our call. This is still the way that we can counteract all those effects of evil in our world, is with proclamation. That's why we announce it, right? We have good news, right? Sometimes it doesn't look like it. Maybe we don't feel it, maybe. But the fact remains. Jesus came to the world. Right? He not only came to this world, he did his thing. He worked his way through this life, through his disciples. He trained them. He spoke to them. He proclaimed that the kingdom of God was here. So we can do something with this information. We can proclaim that the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of God is still doing its thing. Amen. Today. It is not just a matter of when he was here physically in front of us, but that God, through Jesus and because of the Holy Spirit, is still accomplishing the things that need to be done. The fight is real. Sometimes the chains are real. But Jesus is in that business of freeing us. of healing us, of touching our bodies and our souls from the influences of the evil one. Jesus is in the business of allowing us to experience freedom. Now, this is not the freedom that is being advertised in the Constitution of the United States, guys. Anybody here? Right? The thing is that when we think of that freedom, we think that it is a matter of I should be free to do whatever I want. I'm free. Actually, I'm free to speak my mind. I'm free to do all these things, but you're not. Right? I want to shut you down because I am the one that is in pursuit of this freedom. That's not the freedom that Jesus is all about. The freedom that Jesus is about is the freedom from this evil influence in our lives. That even as we struggle, even as we don't comprehend, even as we are working this out in our head, he has been victorious. And at the end of the game, who wins? The Lord. Now, one last thing, I only have like 25 more minutes, all right? Guys, I'm sorry. The Spirit of God is still doing the thing. Confronting evil is liberating people, liberating bodies, souls from the influence. And it's still allowing people to experience freedom. And I say amen to that. But there's a barrier. There's a barrier to even the proclamation of this freedom. And I'll tell you what it is. It's called alignment. Maybe this can be the thing that you take home today. The proclamation is that the kingdom of God is here, is near, is in us. But sometimes we have trouble aligning with it. Hello? Hello? The problem is that we have trouble aligning with it. And the reason for that is because we really do not know. Not only about this Jesus guy, but about the influences of the evil one. We need to know more about this kingdom. And the only way that I know to do that is through the Word of God. And through prayer. Everybody's silent now. You see, because this is where it takes work. I'd rather cruise, my friends. Actually, you know very well what I'd rather be doing, right? I'd rather be surfing, right? Because in that, I don't have to think. The problem is that in order to experience this freedom, I must immerse myself in God's word. I must immerse myself in this message. I must become part of the kingdom of Christ. It's the only way that I know that we will be free, even as we are being attacked day by day. By the evil one who's trying to convince us that we don't have power, that we don't have what it takes.
That's right.
And you know what I say to that? Yeah, I knew that already, but he does. He is the one that does have the power. And when we say more love, more power, basically we're saying, Lord, I need more of you in me. And there's only one way to get that. If you want water, what do you do? Go to the well. That's where the power comes from. And the only way that we can follow the impossible is through him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for showing us these things that we see in the gospel here. Thank you for providing us with some connections, some points, some perspective, some mindfulness of what we're up against, what you have done and what you have prepared for us. And Lord, I just ask today that this freedom that we talk about may be real, that may be real in our lives, that we may be set free, that we may see those changes go away because we have committed to you. We want to follow, Lord. We want to give you our lives, Lord, but not just in our minds and not just with our mouths, but for real in our daily lives. Amen. Mm-hmm.